At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
If you're a firearms owner, and especially if you carry concealed, we invite you to enroll in a membership with our partner, the United States Concealed Carry Association, at uscca.com. The USCCA is more than 700,000 Americans from every faith, political stance, and walk of life, spanning multiple demographics. They provide life-saving education and industry-leading training, some of which comes in the form of our firearms and mental health videos that we have recently produced and which will be made available to the membership over the next 12 months. We recommend that you obtain self-defense liability insurance available through Delta Defense and the USCCA, so that if you find yourself in an act of lawful self-defense, you will be prepared for what happens before, during, and after that incident. With the common mission of saving lives, Walk the Talk America is proud to partner with the USCCA and Delta Defense, and we invite you to check out all they have to offer at uscca.com.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Rampant hacking, identity theft, mass surveillance. Defending yourself today is not an option. It's a requirement. Introducing the Conceal Shield Travel Pack from DefenderShield.com. Conceal Shield is cutting-edge wireless blocking technology that eliminates all signals, including EMF, GPS, and RFID. Place cell phones, credit cards, IDs, and other trackable items into the Conceal Shield, and they become totally invisible. Get Conceal Shield now at DefenderShield.com. Use promo code CONCEAL for 10% off. Guard your privacy, secure your data, and protect your health with Conceal Shield.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more, up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover SelfDefenseFund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
We want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Chattanooga Shooting Supplies, Inc. CSSI was founded in 1977 by two families that had a passion for hunting and the outdoors. That same passion holds true today for the second generation of family members and their 200-plus employees. Own a gun store or range? If so, you understand the importance of two-step distribution to help you meet the demand of your customers. Their mission is to exceed their customers' expectations with a strong service focus from a knowledgeable sales staff, an assortment of trusted and well-known brands, competitive pricing, and timely shipping. With over 50,000 SKUs of shooting and hunting-related products, they are in the business to help customers succeed. Learn more at ChattanoogaShooting.com.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Now's your chance to get the last of the Resolution Radio Blood Tees. Only a few left available before we try to do a reorder. This has been a high-selling item, and we really appreciate everyone's support in getting this shirt and showing their pride as well as showing their heritage. Nothing counts more than blood. Get yours today from Resolution Radio. Only $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It really helps the network improve, and you really get a great product to showcase what you truly believe in. Nothing counts more than blood. Only from Resolution Radio at ResolutionRDO.com. Send check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to Season 7, Episode 12 of the Fireman Trainer Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking with John Eden from Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. If you like our podcast, give us a five-star review in your favorite podcast app and share it with a friend. Buckle up for another interesting episode to help you as a trainer, as an instructor. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at the FTA, the Firearms Trainers Association. Visit their website at ftaprotect.com and learn more about their instructor coverage offer and their competitive pricing. Remember, listeners to this podcast can get 10% off in your coverage by entering promo code FTP10 at checkout. This episode is brought to you by the LASR Classic Trainer. I use the LASR Classic system in my classroom because it allows me to teach first-time gun owners proper sight alignment, proper drawing from a holster, and trigger control without stepping on the range, saving me time and the student money by not firing rounds downrange. When the student is ready, they know what to do because of the classroom training. LASR Classic is easy to set up and tear down because all you need is a laptop with a webcam to use it. That allows you to set up anywhere you can take your laptop. The application also works with any laser device, from laser cartridges you put in your firearm to dedicated laser trainers. LASR is veteran-owned and operated. Find out more information at lasrapp.com and receive a special 10% discount by using discount code FTP10 at checkout. We bring this podcast to support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America that dedicates time and energy to make gun owners more knowledgeable. Today, we're joined by John Eden from DRGO. Welcome, John, and thank you for making time to come on the podcast.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Happy to be with you guys.
Super. Well, can you tell us a little about who John Eden is and what you do for Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership?
Sure. I'm a practicing pediatric orthopedic surgeon in San Antonio, Texas. I've been here for about 27 years. I do a little firearms instructing on the side. I'm a Masada U Group instructor, as well as a Ranger Master instructor. I started with Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership in 2013. I met Tim Wheeler, who was the founder of DRGO, at the Gun Rights Policy Conference, and quickly became part of the leadership. I'm the membership director right now. And I've been doing that, you know, probably a year into my DRGO time. I also write occasionally for our website, and that can be found at drgo.us. And there's a lot of interesting information there as well. I am a Navy veteran. I spent 9 years full-time active duty. I did my orthopedic training at Oakland Naval Hospital, and I did my pediatric orthopedic training at the Shriners Hospital in Springfield, Massachusetts. But, you know, my passions are horse shooting is one of them, cycling, and I've recently gotten into cigars. Although I do like bourbon and a little scotch now and then, too.
Sounds good. Very good combination there, John.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Very good. You know, well, hey, I know we've been talking about DRGO here a little bit. Can you tell us what DRGO is and why the instructors that are listening here should check it out?
Well, basically, we're an organization that we're kind of a watchdog group. We look at what's going on in the media and in the medical community as far as what the articles that they're writing about the Second Amendment and firearms. We also have a lot of people that are mental health, like the person who writes our blog and who kind of, he edits it, I guess, more than that. He's a practicing psychiatrist. We have multiple members who are either psychiatrists or clinical psychologists. And so basically what we do is we watch what the medical community is doing, and then we rebut it. For instance, Tim Wheeler was one of the four people that testified in front of Congress to get the Dickey Amendment passed. And if you don't know what the Dickey Amendment was, during that time, the CDC was doing a lot of biased advocacy research in favor of gun control. And so we put the light on that. And so Congress defunded their ability to do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I know, John Lott has helped shed light on some of the false statistics and stuff like that. The other groups have come out with, because they've got a political slant to them and based on sound science.
That's right. And you know, Dr. Lott, basically provides a lot of, as Tom Gresham calls it, intellectual ammunition. You know, he gives us a lot of stuff that we can use to push back against the things that, you know, the false stuff that's coming out from like the AMA and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And even, unfortunately, the American College of Surgeons to some degree has an anti-Second Amendment slant. My academy, we have some people that are on some of the board, in some of the committees that kind of keep an eye on that stuff. But so DRGO is involved in a lot of just kind of keeping an eye on what the academia is up to, basically.
Mm-hmm. John, here's a question that just comes to mind as you're talking about the doctors and things like that. Why is the medical profession wading into a field that they are unqualified for, and that they, could either give bad advice or go along and just, it seems like it's a black hole for them because they don't have the proper training. They're not firearms trainers. They're not, any kind of law experts or different things like that. But why are these academies wading into those areas?
Well, I think it's mostly politics. When you really look at it, it's not just doctors, but it's really all of academia. They're all pushing the leftist agenda, and we're all getting stuck. You know, it's like Harvard, and I'm a Columbia graduate, by the way, and I haven't given them money in over 20 years because I see the kind of garbage that's going on with them. But, you know, it's just horrible, you know, that they're pushing that agenda. And they really, you're right, they don't have any training in firearms. They have no idea, but they're pushing the leftist agenda, which is, you know, lock up your guns and store your ammo separately. And, you know, people shouldn't have guns anyway. And they quote stuff that's been debunked as if it's actual, you know, research, even though we know that it's poor science. But they don't care. And it just has to do with, you know, the slant of academia that they've been sliding to the left over the last 30 years. But even in 1994, when Tim Wheeler started, he started it because he realized the slant that was in the medical literature in where he was in California. And that's why that's one of the reasons why he started Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership.
Mm-hmm. So, and you know, the thing that bothers me as you're explaining that, if I went out and I started seeing people and telling them that they should, you know, be taking this medication or doing a procedure, you know, on, you know, their arm or their leg or something along those lines, I'd be brought up on charges for, you know, practicing medicine without a license. But they can step into that realm of giving advice, and they don't even have, you know, the qualifications to know what they're doing.
Well, you know, I've talked a bunch about this, you know, in different venues. One of the things that you can do is if your doctor asks you if you own a gun and you don't want to answer the question and they keep pushing and pushing and pushing, the first thing you can ask them is, does your malpractice insurance company know that you're practicing medicine outside the scope of your expertise? And are they going to cover you if I'm harmed by the advice that you give me? And I guarantee you that will shut them up, because they never thought about that. When it starts to bounce back at them, all of a sudden they're not as much of an advocate as they might think they are.
Yeah, that's why you go to a cancer doctor for a cancer diagnosis, and you don't go to an orthopedic for a cancer diagnostic, you know?
Yeah, unless you have bone cancer, then you go to an orthopedic surgeon.
Okay,
but
yeah,
that's besides the point.
But I mean, it just goes along, shows that they are the medical community is very rigid to saying, okay, this is your expertise, and you can't operate outside of that. You know, if you're a general practitioner, you're not going to do open heart surgery, doing those types of things. But when they start putting political things in there, especially ones that I think affect your individual personal rights. As an American, that really goes along and creates issues, because how do they know your neighborhood? How do they know, you know, how you're living your life? How do they know all these different things? They can go along and spout off, you know, gibberish, you know, that's politically based. But if they don't really know who you are and what your situations is and what your training, all those types of things, and take that into account, they have a hard time, or, you know, properly recommending things. I mean, and those are all the things I know that I question people with, you know, when they ask me about, you know, what gun should I do, or how should I carry, you know, what's a good way to lock up the guns, you know, when I'm home, all those different kind of questions. I got a whole lot more questions for them, because one size doesn't fit all. What I do may work for you, or it may not work for you. You know, the same thing, you know, with, you know, where you live, you might have a different living situation that requires a different way of, you know, owning firearms and storing them and carrying all that tied together.
Right. And here's another thing is that, you know, if the doctors are obnoxious and they keep pushing the issue, first of all, they're injecting politics into the physician-patient relationship. And that may not be in your interest. Okay. And that's something called an ethical boundary violation. They're pushing their politics above your health care. And you can actually report them to the state medical board for something like this. Another example of an ethical boundary violation is sleeping with your patients, for instance. It's the same level of misconduct. And they have to answer. If you file a complaint to the state medical board, they have to answer it. And usually that means they have to hire an attorney, because this is serious business. So you know, you can also rate them poorly. This is all in an article that I wrote in 2020. And it's on the DRGO website. But you can first of all, you can file a complaint with the health plan that that these people are, you know, that your insurance plan, basically. And then if they keep going, that you can file a complaint against them with the health plan. You can rate them poorly on healthgrades.com, for instance, because Medicare and some insurance companies will often tie their reimbursement rates with patient satisfaction surveys. And then, the last thing is the state medical board thing. But the bottom line is you don't have to answer them truthfully if they're doing this kind of stuff. If they say, if you don't, you can say, I don't own a gun. Of course, we all own more than one gun. So you're not really lying to them. You're just not telling them exactly the truth. But if you look at that article, there's actually some pretty good advice there. And the date on the article is February 13th, 2020. And this was written out of a talk that I gave at the Florida Carry event in down in Donnell in Florida in February of 2020. And I go around and talk about this stuff to a lot of different places and on a lot of radio shows and a lot of podcasts and stuff like that. So this is something that we all really need to be aware of, is that you're under no obligation to tell a physician who's pushing a political agenda the truth. You know, it's none, you know what that is, right? None your business. It's none your business. It has nothing to do with why you're there to see the doctor. And, the other thing is you could always fire the doctor and go get another doctor.
My next question. How do you find a pro-2A doctor?
Oh, funny you may ask. We have a website called 2adoc.com. And so you can actually submit your information to 2adoc.com, and we'll see if we can't find somebody who's in our network to match you up with. So that's a nice benefit of DRGO. We need more doctors involved in this because there's not enough. And there are a lot of doctors that are pro-2A, but you don't know about it because they're, you know, for instance, one of our members is a pediatrician. She just retired about a year ago, but she used a pseudonym in everything that she wrote because she was afraid that the American Academy of Pediatrics was going to go after her for some reason, you know, because of her 2A stance. They were going to try to, at least get back at her, because American Academy of Pediatrics is one of the worst organizations as far as the Second Amendment goes. They're very bad. They think that all guns are bad, and that if you own a gun, it's going to be used for a child is going to kill one of his siblings or shoot somebody with it, which is a bunch of BS. And you and I both know that most firearms owners are responsible. They keep their firearms secured, and they keep them out of the prying eyes and hands of children. You can't just stick it on the top shelf and expect the kid not to find it, because they search every inch of your house when you're not watching. I can tell you that right now. They are curious, and the best thing is to teach them early that these are things that are dangerous, and take them to the range and show them what a gun does. And if you take the mystery out of it, then they'll have less of a desire to play with a gun. You know, in fact, it allow them to shoot a gun, maybe a 22, with the proper hearing and eye protection, et cetera. And say, you're welcome to shoot guns whenever you want, but you have to ask us, and we'll go to the range and we'll go do it. Mm-hmm. And that usually solves that issue. The other thing is that, people will say, I don't have guns in my house. Yeah, but, probably more than 50% of the households in the country do have guns in the house. And so, even if you don't have guns in your house, you need to make sure that the children understand that they're dangerous and what to do. And, the Eddie the Eagle program is certainly a very reasonable way to go. We all know about that. As firearms instructors, we know about Eddie the Eagle.
That's a good program. And the one thing where, again, a lot of we're talking about here also kind of leverages Dr. John Lott when he was on talking about the statistics, because I know everybody likes to talk about the number of gun deaths, but they never slice them up to say how many of them are related to crime. So they're not honest people doing things. And then they don't ever compare it to how many times do the honest law-abiding people use them in self-defense. And if they hadn't used them, how many more violent crimes would have been committed? And that's one of those, statistics that a lot of times people don't look at. You know, Europe, England, they have very, very low gun ownership, very strict regulations, but their violent crime is higher than in the U.S. You know, it's like, huh, I wonder why. Maybe in the U.S. the criminals have smartened up a little bit to say, hey, if I keep doing this, I could end up getting shot. Over in, England and Europe, you know, their biggest risk is, you know, maybe somebody will go along and, you know, call the police and they'll get caught. And we know how much of a deterrent that is to a determined criminal.
Right. And in fact, you know, hot burglaries are the favorite way of things to be done in England, because they know people cannot defend themselves. In fact, I guess there's about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a farmer where guys broke in and he shot him with a shotgun and he got arrested. Because you're not allowed to, you don't have the right to defend yourself in England. You know, fortunately, our laws are better. You know, I mean, we can at least are allowed in every state, you're allowed to defend yourself. You know, if somebody breaks into your home, you have the right to self-defense, and you're considered, justified just by the fact that they broke into your home.
Yeah. Well, you could do it the way they do in Toronto and just leave all your valuables at the front door. So the person breaking in, who's already broken the law, getting into your house, will just take your keys, your wallet, you know, all the things that are valuable to you, and hopefully not come any further.
That's right. Hopefully, which is, you know, that's not the kind of hope I want to have.
Yeah. And the thing always kills me when you see the police, you know, commissioners being, you know, very serious that, you know, they think this is really going to work. And it's like, okay, but the criminals are carrying guns that are illegal to begin with. And we're just going to encourage them to come in and take things. I'm not sure how that's going to work, because most criminals do not have a normal logic, you know, in how they do things, or else they would realize that they could probably make a lot more money working, you know, at, you know, a fast food restaurant than they can from doing robberies and things like that. But that's, I'm looking at it too logically, I know.
Yeah, and not only that, but the criminal has a vote. They're the ones who can decide whether how violent they want to be or what they want to do. You can't count on a criminal to take what he wants and then leaves, because what if you're what he wants? That's the problem that you don't get. Is that you don't know what's in their mind. You know, criminals are criminals, and some of them are a little bit on the, you know, antisocial and, psychopathic side. Even some of them are sociopaths, and some of them are psychopaths. You don't know. I mean, look at all the, you know, people, they get their houses broken into, they rape and murder the women, and, you know, they make the men watch and then, you know, kill them. You know, that happens. That stuff happens not infrequently around the world, and certainly in this country it happens.
Yeah, human beings are very interesting, you know, animals, to say the least, because when you revert back to those animal instincts, it's completely uncivilized.
Right, and, you know, we're going to see some uncivilization sometime between November and January, and maybe after that, depending on what happens with the election. And no matter what happens with the election, I suspect that we're going to see a lot of criminal activity. You know, I think the Occupy College movement and the Death to Israel movement is just the tip of the iceberg. Or I think we're going to see some crazy stuff happening. And as firearms instructors, you guys need to let your students know that this stuff's coming, because it is coming. Yeah. I mean, all those guys that came across the border, a lot of those guys are terrorists, Middle Eastern terrorists, or, you know, what are all these Chinese guys doing? Who are these guys? Are they special forces guys that are infiltrating? We don't know yet, but I suspect this stuff's going to happen. I wrote an article that was appeared in Concealed Carry magazine back in 2015 about terrorist attacks against hospitals, because they are a target as well. Schools are the best target, because that's an emotional you know, it's a, it's, it gets people, people's emotions. But, you know, if they hit hospitals, not only do they, you know, cause the same psychological problem, they also damage the infrastructure of how do you take care of, you know, people that are victims of the terrorist attacks. It's a force multiplier. And, you know, I talked about a lot of, you know, some of the prior attacks, most of them in Russia. But they had one of the terrorist groups had the government of Russia over a barrel, and they ended up, basically ceding all of their demands, and they let them escape back to, I think they were Chechens, if I remember right. It's been so long since I wrote that article, but yeah, I mean, it was very bad. And so, you know, and most hospitals are soft targets because they're gun-free zones.
Mm-hmm.
At least in Texas, they are. And yeah. You can't, you're hosed.
Yeah. Well, even hospital securities around me, they've got one or two security guards that are going through the entire hospital. It wouldn't be too hard to target them and take things over. And you've got a very bad situation there. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that, but you know, a lot of the hospitals they don't even have armed security. They have guys with tasers,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the hospital that I work at, they may have one or two armed guys and they wear white shirts because they're like the seat, like the lieutenants or whatever. Everybody else wearing blue shirts has got tasers and a radio. Well, you know, if a guy's got a gun, your radio and your taser is worthless.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's, they don't do anything to stop people from coming into the hospital either. So you're inside the hospital before
right.
anybody's going to react or stop or notice what you're doing. You know, my prediction of seeing some, I think we're going to start seeing the craziness in the October timeframe, because that's going to be when all the polls start coming out. And that's when people are going to be worried that if they don't do something, their candidate won't win, things along those lines. And I think whoever gets elected after that, there'll be problems in December and January, and it'll be halfway through next year to kind of see what's going to go on. It's gonna be a very interesting year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's nice. May you live in interesting times. Didn't somebody say that once?
Yes, somebody did. And that's, I believe that we are experiencing that. Yeah. Well, John, yeah,
I mean,
go ahead. I got one other question for you. What's the position when it comes to Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, when it comes to suppressors and such? Because we almost got that in front of Congress in 2020, but due to the pandemic, it got, got put on the back burner and won't be coming back up for a while here. Hopefully it will be, but I don't see it coming at least this year for that. But what's the position for DRGO for that?
We actually have a position statement on our website, and it says firearm suppressors prevent hearing loss and should be made readily available to the public. In fact, there's a paper, a position paper that we wrote that in favor of suppression to prevent hearing loss, and it was written by four ear, nose, and throat surgeons, two of which were basically the guys that deal with sensory neural hearing loss. So there again, there's good information. You can actually print it out, and you can give it to your congressman or your senator, or send it to them to say, hey, look, this is what this is the scientific information why we should, you know, if this law ever, you know, comes back up again, why we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you can just print it. It's a one page summary. There's also a paper that talks about, you know, how a single gunshot wound can cause permanent hearing. I mean, a single gunshot can cause permanent hearing loss. It just takes once. It doesn't take. You don't have to have repetitive exposure. You can have, you know, just one exposure. It damages the hair cells in your cochlea, in that part of your the part that transmits the sound and turns it into electronic impulses. And, mm-hmm. and it's all written out here. It tells you what the, you know, like a lawnmower is 90 decibels and a jackhammer is 110. And you can get hearing damage in 15 minutes with a jackhammer. Instant is like a firecracker at 145, a 9mm pistol at 171 decibels, and a .308 rifle is 181 decibels. So all those are immediate hearing damage and hearing loss. And there's nothing that you can do to recover from that.
Yeah, you can't transplant ears or doing you know, do things like that. You lose your hearing, and you're, the only option you have is hearing aids now.
Well, even that, the hearing aids still, they just amplify sound. I mean, you can get a cochlear implant, you know, which involves drilling a hole in your skull and putting wiring into your, you know, nerve. I mean, they do that for people who have, you know, congenital hearing issues, but this is something that's completely preventable. And I think that this paper, I'm looking at it right here. It's very easy to pull it up on my website. And it has the pictures. It talks about the different, the range of what's safe and what's not safe. And, you know, this is, again, this is intellectual ammunition for all of your instructors. And it's on drgo.us. And if you look in the top, it says, positions and resources, and it says suppressors and hearing. So it's right there. It's a drop down menu. You click on that, and then there's a couple of links where you can click on it, and you can print all that stuff up. So it's readily available. It's stuff that is very valuable, and you know, you can pass it along to your students as well, because this is all very valuable information. It's also important for them to understand that, you know, they can lose hearing if they don't have good hearing protection, and this is why. You know, it's, again, it's good information for instructors as well as, you know, for the political side of trying to get laws changed.
You know, we were talking about Europe and England just a little bit ago, but one of the things I find very interesting is suppressors over there are almost required. Mandatory, you know, for it. And you walk in, you put your money down and walk out with it, because they realize the suppressor makes the gun much more friendly to your ears. It makes it, you know, more friendlier to the people that are around you. And, you know, those are all things that, you know, and we think about Europe, how strict they are on guns, but obviously they're not, you know, they see the public benefit to having the suppressors on it. And also too, one thing I think is valuable about the article that you talk about, that wasn't written by, you know, Rob, you know, who I just going by the knowledge that I've, you know, been told or I've researched over the years. You're talking about audiologists that, you know, that is their job. That is their expertise. They went to school on it. They can tell you, you know, down to, you know, all the different parts of the ear and which one gets damaged first and what can be done, all those different pieces that, quite frankly, I don't have the education to talk very well about that.
Yeah. I mean, the four authors are Matthew Branch, MD, American Board of Otolaryngology, who's a head and neck surgeon, Gerard Giannoli, who's a fellowship trained in otology, neurology, and skull-based surgery, Bradford Ress, who's a fellowship trained in otology, neurology, and skull-based surgery, and then Tim Wheeler, who was a ear, nose, and throat surgeon himself. And so these are guys that are experts in the, you know, ear, nose, and throat issues and the neurologic hearing loss and things like that. So these are the kind of people that are putting this together. They're not, you know, they're not a bunch of bozos. These guys are experts, and this is good data. And it was printed in 2017. So it's been around for 7 years now, this paper, and it's on our website and it's easily accessible. So I told you how to find it. So go find it, print it out, read it yourself, and then, you know, if you so desire, pass it on to your students.
Yeah, I think that's great, because if you haven't been around suppressor, it does not make a gun silent. You know,
oh no,
i.e. the, you know, the way that it's James Bond and you know, all the all the Hollywood movies makes it sound. It reduces the noise level, but doesn't stop it completely. When I shoot a rifle with my suppressor on, it sounds like a branch breaking. So
yeah,
not real loud, but at the same time, it's not silent. So if I would use that to do anything criminal, it's not going to, people are still going to be able to hear what's going on and such. And, you know, right. Obviously then a criminal is not going to care what in the heck they do. And there's plenty of information on the internet to go along and figure out how to make improvised suppressors also, which obviously criminals will do that if they want.
Right. Now the other thing you have to also realize is that the bullet, if it's supersonic, still has a supersonic crack. It breaks the sound barrier. So there's still some noise with a round that's going faster than the speed of sound. So it's mm-hmm. not, you're going to get some of that as well.
Yeah. You just don't have that big kaboom to where you have your right. ears ringing, which, you know, if your right. ears are ringing, the damage has been done.
Right. And I've experienced that, unfortunately.
Yeah, between my early day shooting and then hunting and things like that, it wasn't until the last couple of years that I'm really being diligent about making sure I've got hearing protection on when I'm shooting rifles and out hunting in the fall.
Yeah, well, I bumped my earmuffs a couple of times shooting an AR, and enough to break the seal. And believe me, my ears were ringing after that, and I know I've lost some hearing from doing that. Even though you're wearing, you know, maybe double plugging may not be a bad idea sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and I always go along and, you know, the generation of World War II and Korea, I don't know a single veteran that was in combat that doesn't have some kind of hearing loss and needing hearing aids and such. And it just kind of goes
and
shows you that, you know, even, you know, some of the Vietnam veterans ended up needing hearing aids because of, you know, they weren't as strict with it. You know, current, you know, veterans of the military and such, they are taught to use a hearing protection and not just to, you know, live with it. And, we've learned, but at the same time, it shows you that, you know, no matter how young or how old you are, once you lose your hearing, you lose your hearing. And, I like hearing my grandkids and such and their giggles and laughter and be able to talk to people normally. So I want to keep the hearing that I have for as long as I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, it does give you a good excuse when your wife asks you to do something and you can't hear. So that's not so bad.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. You might have to do what? What was that? I didn't get that. So I there were some, I guess, some upsides, but not very many, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, John, what can instructors, I know you've talked about it a couple times so far, but what do you think, you know, instructor listening to this saying, you know, I hear everything that Rob and John are talking about. What do you think are the one or two things that they could take away from our conversation today to really help the cause when it comes to getting the word out, as well as going along and helping DRGO with everything they're doing?
Well, the first thing is you have a lot of doctors that are taking classes from you. So let them know that DRGO exists. Also, you don't have to be a doctor to join DRGO. You can be anything. I mean, look at the number of EMTs. We even have lawyers that are part of DRGO. You know, we like lawyers on our side. We don't necessarily like their lawyers, but we like our lawyers. They're good people. But I think the bottom line is this website is a resource to let people know about, you know, the medical side of the politics of firearms. And, you know, we're all about safety too. Believe me, we want people to be safe, but we also don't want the government to tell us, you know, how we have to do things. And unfortunately, as we discussed earlier, establishment medicine is very much like establishment, you know, academia. They're all pushing to the left and they're trying to disarm us. And we all know that being disarmed is the first thing that they do before they start putting us in cattle cars and putting us in concentration camps and re-education camps. And, you know, a lot of people never came back from that kind of stuff. And don't think that that couldn't happen in the United States. The only reason it's not happening is because, you know what, the reason why they're trying to disarm us is because they're going to do stuff that they're going to get shot for if we were armed. And that's something that we really need to be aware of, and that we need to make sure that people who are taking, you know, self-defense classes, you have to understand that it's more than just personal self-defense, but it's also defense of the body politic. It's the citizens. It's all about the balance of power between government and the citizenry. And if the government has a monopoly on power, that means the citizens, we're not citizens anymore. We're serfs or we're slaves, and we cannot let that happen. You know, there's too many people that gave their lives and bled a lot over the last 48 years, yep, to let this go, and not on my watch and not on your watch. I know that I'm sure you're the same way. Yep. Is that we cannot let this kind of stuff stand, and we have to be prepared. I mean, we have to, you know, we all have our guns and our ammo, and we, you know, we have our skills, and we may have to organize people at some point in time in the future. And, you know, that puts you in a leadership position, you know, because you're the experts on firearms, all you instructors out there, you're the experts. And so you may have to teach people how to use guns to defend, you know, basically our way of life.
Yeah. And the one thing I point out to people too, you can go along and say, it won't happen in the United States and different things like that. Just brush it off. But keep one thing in mind. The people that are making the rules up, making the decisions, they don't have to follow the rules. And what I mean by that is our members of Congress, when they, you know, have talked about magazine restrictions and where they can carry at and everything else like that, guess what? They've got assigned security teams that can do all that kind of stuff. The police are, you know, given carte blanche. You know, they're still able to purchase
ATF,
fully automatic. Yeah, ATF just, you know, down there in Little Rock, you know, shot somebody on serving a warrant, and you know,
wasn't even an arrest warrant; it was a search warrant. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem, is that they didn't even have you know, charges against the guy. They went in looking for stuff and shot the guy. You know, so it's a no knock 5 a.m. raid. Somebody kicks my, it knocks my door in at 5 a.m. You know, I might be the same kind of person, you know, mm-hmm. and this stuff, and hopefully the Arkansas Attorney General is going to look into this. And, you know, there are better ways to do it. You and I both know that. And they could have just gone up to the guy at work and said, okay, we need to serve the search warrant for your house. You stay here. Mm-hmm. We'll have somebody sitting with you, and we're going to go to your house. And, you know, we're going to search looking for whatever it is that we're looking for. And, you know, I mean, same thing like with Koresh. You know, that was the same thing. You know, they could have grabbed that guy anytime they wanted to, but instead they decided to raid, you know, the compound. And, you know, how many people died? They burned a place down. And that didn't have to happen. But it's government overreach, and that's the problem, is that they have, you know, limited immunity. But, you know, I think we have to be watchdogs ourselves, and we have to kind of keep an eye on what the government's doing, and we mm-hmm. need to, you know, let people know. And that kind of stuff cannot fly.
And also make sure that, you know, we get out and we vote come November. Because, you know,
take 10 people with you.
Yeah. Because that's how we hold people accountable. And again, you talked about your position statements and the education material. You know, educate your congressman, your senator, those, because you know, if they hear all the noise coming from one side and not from our side, then they're going to believe the other side more than they're going to believe us. And that's where we've got to come at them with solid, you know, statistical proof. And, you know, showing them where the errors are when it comes to all the, you know, quote unquote facts that they, you know, think they believe, but aren't really based on anything besides somebody's, you know, impression of what could work.
Right. Here's another interesting thought. Meet with your congressperson, your state and federal, and make yourself a resource for them. so that they can under, you know, you can talk to them about the, you know, the things that are going on with firearms training and guns and all that kind of stuff. So when they have something that comes up, they turn to you to ask you, what's this all about? What does this really mean? If you become a resource rather than an antagonist, somebody who just writes, you know, nasty things to them and says, you know, you know, you're terrible, but let's, you know, if you become a resource to them and they'd start depending on you, then you have influence on their decision making.
And if nothing else, you can educate them on what they need to know about those laws before they make a decision. And a lot of times, again, they get skewed views from the people around them. And when you can point out the holes, the bad stuff that'll happen, you know, I'm thinking about like the red flag laws where, you know, they're worried about taking guns away from people, but they don't do anything with the person after they take the guns. It's like, okay, so what are we really doing then? You know, in a process along those lines, if we really truly believe somebody's dangerous, but, you know, point out and then have the conversation with them. So it's, you know, they become a little bit more educated, and not to saying that we want crazy people running around with guns, but we want to make sure that they're properly evaluated and their rights are preserved properly too.
Absolutely. And not only that, but most of these things are ex parte. You don't even have representation. Mm-hmm. And the other sneaky thing that they've done is they've set it up so that it's a civil process and not a criminal process. So you don't even get an attorney assigned to you at, you know, I mean, you don't have a right to an attorney. So, you know, all these are violations of so many. I actually wrote an article on this stuff of how many constitutional amendments the red flag laws violate. And it's just about every one of them, just about every one of them. You know, you just think about it, you know, first of all, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment. I mean, you look at them and it violates every one of them. You know, it's there's no due process. It's, you know, you're losing, you're having property taken away from you without anybody, you know, without having a chance to tell your side of the story and to have, you know, both sides told. This whole thing, it's really just another way of confiscating people's firearms and then making them pay to get them back.
Yep. It's one of those things to where, if the instructors out there haven't looked into red flag laws that they have and how they put the person really on the defensive, and it's not a cheap defensive when you get accused of something like this, get educated, because it's a ugly situation, to say the least, because once you're accused, then the question comes up, well, how do you get it back? And that's where, you know, the laws are very heavy on, we take it away for, you know, as soon as somebody makes an accusation, and very light on the side of, you know, how do we quickly remedy the situation, or can you sue the other person for making false claims, all those types of things. So it's
right.
Very good. Well, John, I appreciate your time today, and we've been asking all our season 7 guests, what do you do for your mental health each day?
First of all, I love what I do for a living. So, work is not work. It's actually, it's a lot of fun. I love what I do. I take care of children with orthopedic issues. I fix broken bones. Kids are fun, and I make a big difference in their life. So I have a lot of good job satisfaction. The second thing I do since this COVID nonsense happened, I decided to get really, serious about my health. Both physical and mental. And so last year I put 7,000 miles on a bicycle. I've done 200-mile bike rides in the last 6 months. And, you know, so getting on a bike for me is kind of mental health as well as physical health. I've lost about 80 pounds, and I'm in pretty darn good shape right now. And then also I'll sit back in my backyard and light up a nice you know, Connecticut or a nice Maduro, Connecticut broadleaf cigar, and relax it with a little bit of an adult beverage. And those things are all very soothing and psychologically relaxing. And so I don't mind, you know, getting up in the morning because I'm ready to go the next day.
Well, that sounds good. That's some good activity there and being down 80 pounds. Congratulations. I'm working this year also on my physical health and not down 80 pounds so far, but I have lost a pretty good amount of weight. So I'm going to keep working at it this year and see what I can do for it. So that's great. Well, John, where can instructors find more information about you and Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership?
Yeah, the best place to look is drgo.us. Our website has pretty much everything that we talked about already today. It's got a list of authors and contributors, and certainly I'm there. And if you just click on all DRGO articles by Johnny Dean, MD, you can see some of the stuff that I've written. My biggest thing has been, right to carry for a hospital staff. And unfortunately, it's a very difficult area because the corporate lawyers tell them that all you need to do is put up your no gun signs and you're covered, which is not true. But, it doesn't do anything for our safety. I've testified in front of the Texas State House and the Texas State Senate on multiple occasions about concealed carry and fortunately, we got constitutional carry passed here in Texas a couple of years ago. So we're at least getting that part taken care of. And now it's a matter of starting getting rid of gun-free zones because they're basically just shooting galleries for the psychopaths. And who knows what's going to happen in the next year with the terrorist nonsense. There's all kinds of people that have come across the border and they're just waiting for the signal. And when it happens, we had better be armed and prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, hopefully it doesn't happen. But as they say, hope isn't a plan. So make sure you're prepared. And if it does happen, you can take care. If you don't, you've got some spare ammo to go to the range with the year after,
That's great. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, John, again, thank you for your time. Great information on the Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. Hope our listeners go out and check the information out to see where the positions are for the group. And also think about joining because we need to support these kind of groups and the work that they're doing, because obviously there's a very big noise factory when it comes to the other side of the issue. And that noise factory tends to get a lot more press and a lot more political attention than the, common sense gun use that we as responsible citizens try to do.
Right. And DRGO is part of the Second Amendment Foundation, just so people understand where we're at. We are part of the SAF. So we just kind of fall under them like Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. We're kind of a subsidiary of that.
Okay, good. Well, thanks, John, for your time, and have a good evening.
All right. Thank you.
That's a wrap for this episode. I hope you found the information from John and DRGO interesting and that you'll think about supporting them and the good work that they are doing. If you're looking for information for your company, your business, don't forget to use our website and search all the episodes that we have out there. Just go to firearmtrainerpodcast.com and search in the upper right-hand corner. If you have questions or suggestions for me, you can reach me at ftp@concealedcarry.com. Also, I ask you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always interesting to see members out there and engage in the conversation. And remember to visit our sponsor, the Firearm Trainers Association, at ftaprotect.com. Learn more about their instructor coverage they offer and their competitive pricing. All certified instructors can apply for FTA coverage. And remember, for listening to the podcast, you get 10% off your policy and entering promo code FTP10 at checkout. We bring this podcast to support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, you, the firearm instructor that helps Americans with dedicated time and your energy into making gun owners more knowledgeable. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Concealed Carry Inc. and ConcealedCarry.com strives to share helpful information and education about gun-related topics, training tips, and other things that may potentially have legal implications for its listeners. The information contained in this podcast is intended in good faith, but it is important to understand that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand laws that apply to them. Nothing in this podcast should be misconstrued as legal advice or counsel.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
This is the Justice Report weekly recap for May 6th to May 11th, 2024. Support independent journalism. Become a paid supporter via our Substack, Odyssey, or website, and gain access to the full versions of our exclusive audio editions just like these. Today's story. A white old Miss student was kicked from his fraternity after defending Israel. Oxford, Mississippi. A white frat bro who felt compelled to mock and heckle a female black leftist at the University of Mississippi last week to preserve Israel's interests has officially been expelled from his fraternity following a viral video on social media. The young man, whose identity is being withheld by the Justice Report, now faces threats and possible expulsion from the school even after conservative influencers promoted his actions as a patriotic gesture in defiance of anti-Zionist rhetoric quickly fomenting on college campuses. The incident began last week during ongoing pro-Palestine demonstrations at the University of Mississippi, commonly referred to as Ole Miss. Quickly labeled a Zionist frat bro, a viral video of the student, who can be seen wearing a blue shirt and making racially charged gestures towards a visually obese black leftist, quickly sparked a national debate over campus confrontations. On Sunday, however, the leadership of the student's fraternity, Phi Delta Theta, announced in a statement that it had officially cut ties with the student over what it believes to be acts of overt racism. Additionally, Ole Miss announced that it was launching a probe into the student's behavior and is investigating at least one. Some say the student will likely be expelled for his reckless display if sufficient evidence is gathered. Multiple students, including the individual wearing the blue shirt, were quickly doxxed by the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People on Instagram, which showcased photo collages of those believed to have made racist comments in the video. The institutional crackdown on white frat bros confronting pro-Palestine demonstrators came amid a quick and concentrated effort by Republican politicians and social media influencers to lionize them for their ill-advised efforts. At the height of the short-lived pro-Israel frat bro craze, video clips of the incident at Ole Miss and another frat-related act of defiance at the University of North Carolina were featured in a Trump 2024 campaign ad. The move, however, was dismissed by some as a cheap way to lull conservative fence sitters into supporting Israel, namely by offering an avenue to rhetorically own their liberal counterparts. The reason? To shore up support during an unprecedented domestic crisis for the regime in Tel Aviv.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 8, 2024. Today's story. A Jewish Hollywood screenwriter is busted in a live-streamed pedophile sting. Los Angeles, California. A famous Hollywood screenwriter, credited for writing numerous blockbusters like Space Jam, Trading Places, and Kindergarten Cop, was busted allegedly trying to meet a 15-year-old girl for sex. The alarming confrontation was captured by professional live streamers Vitaly and Bradley Martin, who caught the exact moments the Hollywood creative fled from questioning. The video, now seen by millions of users worldwide on X, formerly Twitter, depicts a gray-haired and visibly Jewish man attempting to dodge scrutiny as he sits next to a young white decoy. When a physically imposing Bradley Martin questions him, the Jewish man, who used the name Boris but was later identified as 74-year-old Hollywood screenwriter Herschel Allen Weingrod, admits he met the girl knowing she was only 15 years old. "You're having a piece of pizza with a 15-year-old?" asked Martin. "I messaged her. She was 23 on a dating site," said Weingrod. "We've just been talking and flirting, but it's not a big deal," he continued, timidly downplaying the encounter. When confronted with the age the girl actually provided and text messages to prove it, Weingrod becomes anxious and attempts to force his way out of the conversation. He can then be seen fleeing down the street from the group of live streamers, eventually tagged by clouds of pink and blue smoke shot from an unknown device. A prestigious London Film School graduate, Weingrod has been cited as the brilliant mind behind numerous Hollywood blockbusters, beloved by American movie fans. Some of the work attributed to him include 1983's Trading Places, 1985's Brewster's Millions, the classic 1990 Arnold Schwarzenegger film Kindergarten Cop, and the runaway box office hit Space Jam in 1996. Online, the outrageous video sparked a discussion surrounding the moral degeneracy of Hollywood power figures like Weingrad. Others highlighted his Jewish ancestry as a factor not to be overlooked. Another Jewish pedophile, shocking, said ex-Twitter user Enora Vishingnik. Is this the anti-Semitic attacks they've been talking about? Said another. Wow, I sure hope he doesn't have a passport to somewhere known for harboring pedos, said another user, hinting towards the embattled Jewish state of Israel.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 9, 2024. Today's story. A black man is arrested for the execution-style murder of two white parents over a basketball hoop, Wellington, Florida. A black man was arrested for the brutal execution-style murder of his two white neighbors on Saturday, leaving behind four children without a mom and dad. The suspect was a celebrated black airline mechanic now being referred to as a, quote, sweet man, who allegedly shot in self-defense. According to reports, 63-year-old Norman Scott is now facing first-degree murder charges for the gunshot murder of Tara Marie and Taylor Glenn Jones, two white parents living next door in Wellington's posh Black Diamond neighborhood. Investigators said the shooting took place Saturday evening and may have been motivated by a petty dispute over a basketball hoop in the neighbor's property line. An eyewitness claimed that when he was attempting to render aid to the victims, Scott came outside and confessed to the crime, saying, "Don't worry, I shot them both." Scott was said to have told the witness that the shooting initially stemmed from an argument with his neighbors over the property. He then called 911 and confessed to authorities that he shot both white parents in self-defense after they attacked him, investigators said. Security camera footage proved differently, however. An arrest report said neither of the victims were observed behaving in an aggressive manner or displaying any form of threatening behavior in front of Scott. The video surveillance evidence unequivocally establishes the shooting was completely malicious and unprovoked, read the arrest report. Both were shot a total of three times. For the murder of both Taylor and Tara Jones, Scott is currently being held without bail and faces two counts of first-degree premeditated murder with a firearm. According to local real estate websites, Wellington's Black Diamond area is described as an opulent, gated community whose residents earn over six figures on average. Featuring private lake access and a 24-hour manned security post, the looming specter of black violence still found a way to creep into this majority-white enclave and take with it two devoted parents. For more news like this, visit justicereport.news and subscribe to our Telegram, Substack, and Odyssey to keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. Become a paid supporter and gain access to our full archive of audio articles and enjoy the Justice Report on the go.
However you slice it, America is intentionally under attack by many incarnations of foreign infiltration.
It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go.
Whether it's the blunt, dull force of the open jihad growing within the interior of the United States.
Quote, almost immediately after the October 7th attack, people were celebrating in the streets in Dearborn.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to Mar- Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News, listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist?
Or the hordes of bloodthirsty Haitians storming the beaches of Florida.
Florida's governor deploying more patrols to the state's southern coast and plans to install new leadership in Haiti appears to be crumbling.
And even the U.S. Marines are being sent into Haiti to help secure the U.S. embassy there. But in the worst areas where that chaos is happening, we know that there are a number of U.S. citizens that are literally stranded.
Or the now rampant looting of the United States infrastructure that has no end in sight.
Six additional buses arrived at the Port Authority bus terminal overnight.
This comes after 14 buses arrived from Texas.
Tonight, another major U.S. city, San Diego, buckling as it grapples with a growing number of migrants. Border Patrol dropping off hundreds of people at local bus stops from as far away as China.
No country comes remotely close to executing the art of war as China does with its methodical, creeping disintegration warfare being waged on the United States of America. Author Peter Schweitzer writes that disintegration warfare, in the Chinese leader's words, is going after the United States' soft underbelly in terms of politics, economics, and the spirit and psychology of its people. Disintegration warfare is based on the ancient Chinese strategist and general Sun Tzu's teachings on how to win a war without fighting. The strategy is aimed at undermining a rival country's, quote, national will, values, and cohesion, end quote. A Chinese immigrant who is now a U.S. congressional candidate has warned Americans not to underestimate China's use of soft power to infiltrate the United States and achieve global dominance.
I know what no freedom of speech is what I'm all about. I know what big government is all about.
China is investigating and logging every weakness in American national security it can find.
China is buying up some American farmland. The question is China doing that to spy on the U.S. military?
What we're seeing now is a continuing trend and an uptick in these intrusions.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the FBI, Department of Defense, and others have been conducting a year-long investigation into so-called gate crashers. It's happening all over the U.S., according to the report. In Florida, Chinese scuba divers were caught swimming in dirty water near a government rocket launch site. In New Mexico, the gate crashers attempted to breach a missile launch location. Officials even caught Chinese nationals leaving a tour of the White House, attempting to take photos of Secret Service and communications equipment.
Meanwhile, the Chinese are pouring fuel on the fire of gang violence that is tearing cities apart. As Breitbart reports, cities such as St. Louis continue to devolve into war zones. This, in large part, to the fact that the communist Chinese government has been flooding the United States with illicit gun parts.
A penny-sized device can turn a semi-automatic weapon into one that can fire up to 1,100 bullets a minute with one pull of the trigger. ATF agent Tony Pierce demonstrated the machine gun conversion device, commonly known as a Glock switch, at a gun range in Slidell.
With the regular Glock setup in semi-automatic, it's much easier to control the shots because you have time to allow the weapon to cycle, and you're able to control your recoil.
The weapon is harder to handle when it's fully automatic using the illegal switch.
A lot of times on the street, guys are shooting with one hand, and to try to control this with just one hand would be nearly impossible. And you're going to have innocent bystanders in the background, in the foreground, who could also get hit by this.
Records reveal that between 2019 and 2021, there was a rise of 4,200% in incidents involving machine gun fire in 130 American cities. The Chinese flooding of third world America with Glock switches, ensuring that the mass murder of innocent civilians will eventually lead to sweeping gun control legislation. Solution? Close the border today. John Barrett, today. Reporting for InfoWars.
Please stand by for further details. We return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
I know, as viewers and listeners, you've heard callers call in and talk about how X3 has changed their life. You've heard listeners talk about how incredible 10-hour clean energy Turbo Force is. Well, both products are back in stock right now. In fact, X3 has been sold out for more than 6 months, but despite that, it is 40% off because I want the people who have never tried the product to try it. Our regular listeners and the folks that have already tried it are chomping at the bit to get it. We appreciate them. But less than 1% of you ever buy a product at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there. Try X3. Get the missing link that's essential to all electrochemical activity in your body. This is the purest, highest quality triiodine out there. You owe it to yourself to get a bottle and experience it for yourself. Takes a few weeks to kick in. On average, get X3. While you're at it, get Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy at InfoWarsStore.com. Both of them discounted right now.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hundreds, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting pureeffectfilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit pureeffectfilters.com.
Family, this is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.